This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
No matter which way you go, no matter which way you stay, you're out of my mind, out of my mind, out of my mind, out of my mind. I was walking with the ghost.
Welcome to the 8th episode of Row 1, Seat 1. This is Ben, a.k.a. Boston Nuga. This is part 2 of a 2-part series of my live road trip. This episode is going to focus on Black Label Pro. I'm going to interview Mikey Blanton, the promoter of Black Label Pro. I'm also going to interview his fiance Jess. Black Label Pro is a promotion based out of Crown Point, Indiana. They've been running for about 2 years now, and I went to their show about 2 weeks ago, and this is going to be sort of a 24/7 piece, kind of like we did with Kevin Koo last week. Just talking about their show, There's Something About Barry. Talks about a little bit about their promotion with Barry Windham, their show with they had a Marco Stunt versus Brian Alvarez main event. They had a great Ethan Page versus Gary J match. They had a hell of a match between Jordan Grace and Kobe Durst, and they had a really, really fun match with Jake Parnell and Spider Nate Webb at their show. So we're going to talk about all those matches. We're going to talk about what goes into a Black Label Pro show, very different than what goes into a Southern Underground Pro show. So I think you really find it interesting, the contrast between the two promotions, what goes into one as opposed to what goes into another. So I think it'll be really different than last week's show, but similar as well. But before we do that, I want to talk about the Place to Be Nation feed. And the Place to Be Nation pop feed and the series finale of DC Post-Christ Management. Russell Sellers and guest Todd Weber take a look at Heroes in Crisis, complete Russell's journey. Russell and Todd then announce the debut of their new podcast, DC For You. In the first episode of this weekly show, the guys kick off celebrating the anniversary of the Batman and Batman 89. The hard-traveling fanboys wrap up Avengers Month with a farewell to the Hard Travelers for Hire series with a giant-size edition, complete with the all-star panel and a comprehensive ranking of the MCU movies. In the 20th edition of Songs with Friends, Steve and Kelly feature Bob Seger's Night Moves. Oh, yeah. And Third Eye Blind's Semi-Charm Life. The NBA team is back with Gone Fishing Part 2 as Andrew and Adam go west. The second edition of PTB E-Ticket Attraction finds host Jason Sherman and guest Andy Atherton, Neil Trauma, and Chad Campbell talking everything Epcot. Epcot's a fun place, man. Be sure to keep an eye on our social media feeds as the reboot of the Greatest Song of the 80s tournament is starting soon. Over in the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, on the Place to Be podcast, Justin Scott and guest John D'Amato wrap up the summer with a hot review of SummerSlam 89. That was a hell of a podcast, actually. Jenny, Tim, and Greg discuss a trio of matches featuring the natural Dustin Rhodes. In the 7th edition of Row 1, Seat 1, I welcome Southern Underground Pro Kevin Koo and get a behind-the-scenes look at their latest main event. Scott Criscolo, Nate Milton, and Steve Willey recap Double or Nothing and Classic TNA in the newest edition of Main Event. And on PlaceToBeNation.com, check out the newest Draft Wars, in which PlaceToBeNation staff members draft to takeover matches, pick the best roster, and vote for your favorite. Also available on the site is the latest installment of PlaceToBeNation's excellent WWE Network adventure, with an in-depth look at Mid-South Wrestling from 5/26/84. Check out our social media pages and message board at Bigelow34.proboards.com for information on joining our GWWE, PPV, and TV Match Ever project. Get in the conversation today and start researching your list. All right, I'm here with Mikey Blanton. Mikey is the promoter of Black Label Pro out of, I guess, ostensibly Crown Point, Indiana is your home, correct?
Yeah, that's where all the shows are at. Well, mostly.
Yeah, most of them, yeah. And you've been running for a little over almost a year and a half, 2 years now, right?
Yeah, it'll be 2 years in September.
Fantastic, fantastic. And you're a dear friend. God, I've known you. We've known each other in some way, shape, or form for 12 years now. You are one of my dearest friends. We first met on the Figure Four online message board. You've been a dear, dear friend for a very, very long time.
How's it going, everybody? That's kind of crazy that we were just at a show with Brian.
Yeah.
This past weekend.
I know. Which you booked. You booked Brian. You're one of the people who books Brian.
And yes.
You have a storyline with Brian, in fact.
Yes.
And Brian is a very integral part of Black Label Pro. Brian Alvarez, that is. Wrestling Correct. Observer Figure Four Weekly. And the major domo of Figure Four Weekly. And Brian has brought so many people together from the wrestling world through the message board and through just through the everything and through Meltzer and all that. So Brian Alvarez, for all the criticism he gets, deserves a lot of praise as well. I must give him credit where credit is due.
Good.
So speaking of Brian, Black Label Pro is not your first promoting venture. This is true.
Yes. I think most people know it now, but I had a company called Fight Sports Midwest in 2007, and Brian wrestled the late, great Larry Sweeney on...
May he rest in peace.
Yes, and a couple times in that time. Once on a regular show, and then once we did something with Chikara. But yeah, it was that was great. It just wasn't my time. I'll just say that it wasn't my time to really run shows and put everything into it. But now, you know, things are good. Things are running smoothly.
So what gave you the idea almost 2 years ago to get into the promoting game again? Because you had Fight Sports Midwest for a little while. You ran two shows. You know, people would think, okay, he got it out of his system a little bit. But you caught the bug again.
I don't like super indies. That's not really my jam. I thought that there was nothing really in this area, like in kind of like Northwest Indiana. It's all like shindies and, you know, there's just nothing good. So I was like, okay, well, I could kind of do my own type of thing. So I just started booking some goofy shit and here we are.
And goofy shit. I refer to your booking as an acid fever dream.
Yes.
And
I used that recently. we announced a Hornswoggle versus Jordan Grace match, and I said it was a fever dream match, and I actually got that phrase directly from you.
Oh, I'm touched. I'm absolutely touched. Did you have connections in the wrestling industry, or did you go into this totally cold?
I still had some like people I kind of talked to, and but like others I didn't really talk to that much. It was just kind of like, the more I was doing it, and like a lot of people would say that, you know, hey, you have hustle, you're trying to make this work, you're trying to do everything you can. So it was just kind of like a mutual respect that kind of grew, and now I can't even imagine life without it.
Because that first show had, what, Riddle, Tom Lawler. I mean, who was on that first show? That was you had the All-Star game of All-Star games for that first show.
The Sandman was on that show. Ernest the Cat Miller was on that show. But, like, we worked out a bunch of sponsors for that first show. So, like, it was, like, we went in making money. Like, it was, like, which isn't, mm-hmm. isn't something that happens normally. So it's, like, okay. And, yeah, because it was, like... a whole thing where, like, a few days before, like, Gabe Sapolsky, you know, hit us up after he had said that we don't need to split flights. It was fine. Then he asked for, like, a flight share. And, he's a real piece of shit. So,
it's okay. Yeah. It's okay. You're on my – you can say whatever you want, buddy.
I don't care.
So you went into that first show, and even though you knew you'd make money on that first show, did you think this would be a consistent thing, or did you think that would be a one-off and you'd get it out of your system?
Oh, no. I knew, because I already had the second show planned out.
Okay.
Like, I was going for it. This wasn't like a because, like, I remember MLW, I thought it was just going to be a one-night deal. Like, mm-hmm. I think that – didn't they say it was, like, a one-shot or something? I don't remember. But, like, I knew it was, like, a one thing, and they're like, hey, we're just going to do a company. And but we kind of knew we were going to do it, you know, pretty much every month or every other month or something like that.
Well, last week I had Ku on. He said we did this as a joke to see if we could do one show and ended up being successful, so the joke just kind of kept going on.
Well, yeah, like, that's the whole thing. It's like, it has to grow organically in order for it to work. You can't force something to grow. It either is going to or it's not. And, you know, like, just put your time into it and put, you know, stupid ideas into whatever and just try. That's what I think is missing in wrestling, is like, people are afraid to try new things.
Now, you mentioned something a bit ago that I hope promoters who are listening to this hear. You said the word sponsors, and that's almost a dirty word in the wrestling industry. You actually get sponsors for your show, and that helps pay for a lot of what you do. How do you go about this? Is it just hustle? Is it salesmanship? Give the basic one-on-one on how to get sponsors.
Well, there's like, you got to have a certain hustle. You got to show them like a loyalty to their brand, and like, and then you got to pay them respect. You know, I'm just joking. It's John Cena. No, I was trying to do that. Like, it just fitted in casually. That was literally a joke that all these people are going to be like, what is going on? And I did it just to make you laugh.
And it worked in context, too. That's the shitty thing. It totally worked in context.
I'm such a piece of shit. No. We just contact people. Like, I used to, like, I'm an operating engineer now. And before I did that, I delivered for Domino's for years. Mm-hmm. And I contacted Domino's, and that... Like, there was the owner of the franchise around there, so I got a hold of him, and there's a hair cutting place in Crown Point called McFly's. It's the best place to get a haircut. They were involved. There's another hair cutting place that was involved. There was just like a lot of different things. It was cool, and all of them got involved. So it was you just gotta keep trying. You're gonna be told no a lot. That's the one thing I've learned. It's like, you know, being the nerdy kid in high school, you know, you're gonna be turned down quite a bit, but, you know, eventually some, you know, fellow nerdy girl will go out with you.
And is it one thing too where, you know, one sponsor begets another? You can say, hey, I got Domino's, so another sponsor will listen to you, you know, and find you more legitimate.
Yeah, that kind of helped too, because like, the coolest thing about the Domino's deal was like that we got distribution on their pizza boxes. So like, we put flyers. So I would order flyers, like 4,000 or 5,000 at a time, because they would be sent all over Northwest Indiana. So that was like almost like, if there was no financial amount of money, that still would have been a good deal. But it was like, that's why we were going with the family friendly thing. Mm-hmm. Actually, in February of this year, it was. Or March of this year was the last one that we were, the Domino's was our presenting sponsor. They are no longer our presenting sponsor because they wanted it to be PG. And I want to have, like, you know, a little bit more fun. So that's why there's, you know, a little bit more saying shit and bitch and, you know, like, more intensity, you know. Yeah. It's like, it's still like, it's not like crazy where, you know, you can't bring your family. But it's like, there's more to it to where... Yeah, absolutely. And that's a risk for us, because that's turning down money. But it's going to work out.
So you had the sponsorship game and stuff like that. Has it grown to be more successful, or have you hit bumps in the road show by show? Has it built on itself?
Well, it's kind of like the whole thing with it is like, it, I feel like we're always in a rebuilding phase. because like it's like we will do something and we'll hit like a certain level, and then we kind of have to start fresh again to hit another goal, to hit another goal. Like it's like there was one point where our ticket sales were only okay, so I was like, oh, how could we supplement that? And that's where we started like our t-shirt thing, the blpmerch.com, and we put like a price point on t-shirts for $15, and like with shipping it's $20, just like you'd buy them at a show. Yep. And to me, like, that's most people don't order shirts online because they're too expensive. Like, you know, most people sell them for $20-$25 plus the shipping and handling, then it's, you know, that's $30. Yeah. Yeah, but like for us, you know, $30-$35, you're getting two shirts. And that's like, and that has really worked out in our favor. Like, it's, you know, it's been kind of a cool thing of like an influx of like other ways of making money in wrestling. And we have a lot that we're cooking up too that, you know, we'll see about shortly.
One thing I noticed, just because I've been to a few of your shows, is you do great walk up. Is that just because you, because the community support you get, or is it the, is that a Northwest Indiana thing or Chicago area thing, or is what do you attribute that to?
See, I'm a walk up guy too. Like, it's like, yeah, there's like a lot of community people that do come in, and then there's also like just people that's just what they do. I'm the same way. If I know that, like, you know, there's a chance I'm going to get in at the door. But this, like, that's the thing with this new building. Like, that's not going to be, like, July. Like, I fully expect July to sell out, like, long before the July 27th date. Because, you know, there's Ricky Steamboat and there's Tennille Dashwood, who was Emma in the WWE. Mm-hmm. Like, both of them would normally be, like, a, you know, autograph headliner. And they're both going to be at this next show. So it's, yep, like, you know, tickets are moving pretty quick. And but yeah, because there's only, you know, we say 200, but there's like about 230 tickets that we could sell. And it's, you know, usually we have our people that have already bought, like almost always there's about 20-30 people that'll buy tickets ahead of time. So then by the time it's pre-sale, it'll be 200 tickets that we could sell.
So you have that background. You're building up. You did your WrestleMania. Oh yeah, that's the other thing I want to talk about too. So you're establishing a name. You have the opportunity to do the WrestleMania show.
What? Yeah, Collective.
The Collective show. The WrestleMania weekend show. And I had talked to you in when you had made that decision. That was what, September, October?
September. I made the decision.
What made you make that decision?
I know that our show is different, and I believed in it. And it was funny because, like, our original plan for the main event was Marco Stunt before he got hurt. He was going to team with PCO before he got signed to face Brian Alvarez and Filthy Tom Lawler.
Welp.
And Filthy Tom Lawler had his contract with MLW, and they wouldn't allow talent because of whatever. It's fine. PCO got signed to Ring of Honor exclusive, which is there's no dissension, no, you know, quote unquote heat with him. Mm-hmm. He's the best guy. I talk to him all the time still. Just like that's one guy that's like he's had so much success. But he's the same guy.
Really?
He is the best guy. Like, I, you know, I went to Madison Square Garden over WrestleMania weekend, and he got me tickets to go see him back at MSG. And, like, we talked the next day about it, and just, like, I mean, I'm not even ashamed to admit, like, I had, like, tears in my eyes when I saw him come out just because, like, the look on his face was just pure joy.
Well, I was there. It was a hell of an entrance. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was just the best. He's, you know, like, there's certain people in the wrestling business that just, like, they're next-level human beings, and he's one of those people.
Who are some of those? Because, I mean, you went into Black Label, I mean, not knowing a lot of people in the wrestling industry, have you made a lot of other really good relationships?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, I have. There's a lot of people that like I would
in and around wrestling too, not just the wrestlers themselves, but like, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, you know, are the people that help with BLP, the behind the scenes people, you know,
are some of my favorite people in the world, by the way.
Yes, absolutely. You know, obviously there's my fiance Jess, who, you know, is irreplaceable. And there's, you know, Brandon and Jason, the people that have helped me, you know, since day one. And they do music, the Chavez's who do merchandise, and Michael does all of our video stuff. And yeah, it's just like, you know, Tyler, Nancy, all these people, they're all like so great and so helpful. Greg, you know, Greg has been our ticket guy since the very beginning. He organizes it all. And, you know, he's so calm and collected, and I'm not at all. I'm going around yelling at everyone, just trying to – I'm Dylan Hales of the North.
Well, that's funny because when I come up, you say, Ben, you're in charge of keeping me sane.
And you do that, and you absolutely do that.
I try.
And I send you out for the plunder.
You do send me out for plunder, and it makes me so happy. But
and I know.
But how do you put this team together? I guess that's another question too, because you guys have such an efficient team of behind the scenes people. Did you know you were going to have these people? You said, when I started promotion, I'm going to have Jason, I'm going to have Brandon, or did you just kind of met these people along the way?
Yeah, I knew those people. Like, I knew Jason and Brandon, and I knew Jess, of course, were going to be helping me. And then it was funny because, like, before our first show, like, we didn't know Nancy, like, at all. Like, I knew her from shows, you know, and we were just like... Or she asked, she's like, hey, can I help out? And I was like, yeah, that'd be great if you could help us with concessions, you know? And then it has just grown and grown and grown. And, you know, like,
she's the hardest working human being on the planet.
Yeah, she's great. And that's the whole thing. It's like, we have this, like, it's like this team, like, the amount of pressure that I put on, and I'm sure you'll talk to Jess, like, the amount of pressure that I put on her of just, and just my fiance, like, just of like the average everyday things that, you know, need to be done. And like, hey, I need you to do this. Hey, blah, blah, blah. Like, just last week, Trey Lamar forgot his jacket because he's a dumb shit. He forgot his jacket, which is like a custom made denim jacket. And I knew he had J-Lit coming up. And I just was like, hey, Jess, I need you to mail this. Like, you know, so she had to, you know, get the kids in the car. Or no. They walked. They actually walked to the post office and mailed it off. I mean, like, literally, like, this is the stuff that, like,
this is
after a show. But, like, there's always, because there's always something going on.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about this show a little bit here.
Okay.
It's your second time at this gym.
Yeah, which is our new home.
Your new home. You're already at the RDS gym in Crown Point. So,
yes.
So you have
great atmosphere there. Atmosphere.
It's a wrestling. This is a wrestling venue. This feels much more like a wrestling venue than the previous place.
Absolutely does.
This is like wrestling happens here. I absolutely love it.
We have had two shows there, and they've both been home runs.
Mm-hmm. Absolute home runs there. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I wish the air conditioning was on, but aside from that.
Truth be told, I did not know how to turn on the air conditioning until about halfway through the show, which this is a new venue. So okay. Like next time that will not be an issue.
Fair. Okay, cool.
Yes. Oh,
good. And also the temperature outside came down too. So we opened up the doors and halfway through the show, it got a lot better.
But, yeah, absolutely.
But it was it was totally fine. Also, we were working up a sweat because we were working our tails off because I want to have you on. After Coup, because Coup, basically, his thing is completely plug and play. He just shows up at the venue, he sets up the ring, and plugs into the laptop, and he's good to go. You are not that way.
No.
Like, at all. Like, how much... What does your to-do list look like a week before the show, a month before the show, the day of the show? Like, how far out are you planning for... There's something about Barry.
Okay, like, to give an example, like, right now, I, We're going to have a tournament in September. I have most of the participants in the tournament already, you know, confirmed, like already. So the it's June now. So this is the Barry Windham was one I chased after for a while. WrestleMania in New Orleans, I paid to get a picture with him because I knew I wanted to book him eventually. So I paid for the picture and I was like, hey, I would like to get your contact. I'd love to bring you in. And we could never get the timing right. And then finally, we had the timing right and kind of worked out a deal for him to come in and do a seminar and come in and, like, you know, sign autographs and stuff like that. And it was he was the best guy. He's a great guy.
And you'd think out of the box, too, because he had told me that he's not a seminar guy.
This was his first time he's ever done a seminar. And he just has so much knowledge. And he even told the guys afterwards, hey, if you have any questions or anything you want to know, just come and talk to me. I'll be over here. Come and talk to me. Like, so realistically, this seminar could have lasted all day if you chose, you know, to be, you know, like to pick apart his brain, I guess. Mm-hmm.
But you just decided Barry Windham would be a really cool guy to have. And he's a guy who has a ton of knowledge, so I want to seek him out. And that's why I like your brain, because you think out of the box where, you know, the normal people would have the same 10 seminar guys. You say, you know what? No, Barry Windham, even though I know he's not a seminar guy, that's the sort of guy I want to have.
Yeah, absolutely. Because quite a few people that, like, we have announced Ricky Steamboat doing a seminar in July. But, like, we're going to have a seminar in August. We're going to have a seminar probably in November. And, like, we have these people locked down already. October. We have these people locked down already that, like, are, you know, a couple of them aren't necessarily seminar guys, but have so much knowledge that I expect, you know, some good stuff.
Are seminars really important to you as a promoter?
Yes, they are, because all these kids think that they know everything and they don't know shit and they need to get better. Cause there's, like, you know, there are certain people that come and, you know, like Jake Parnell is our Indiana State champion and he does every seminar we do. And he's not one that's like, hey, you know, I work here. You know, he wants to pay for them. He wants to get better and learn and all this stuff. Because he wants to be better.
Well, Commander Man Dan is a 15-year vet, and he drove with me from Alabama.
Absolutely. Like, he's – like, Commander Man Dan is, like, one of – like, we had our Unplugged show in February, and I think 4 or 5 people from that show got jobs off of that show. And he is definitely one of those people just because, like, you know, he's a really good guy. And he is over, and, you know, he works really hard. Mm-hmm. There's, like, every reason why you'd want to use someone.
Mm-hmm. But he's 15 years in the business, and he's still doing seminars, and he wants to do every seminar on the planet.
Oh yeah, because he wants to. Because you're never perfect. Mm-hmm. Like, you're never. You know, there's a lot of guys that, like, you know, think that they're great and they're jack shit compared to all these guys. So, you know, learn.
So does the idea of the show begin with the seminar and then you go from there?
No, I added the seminar later.
Okay.
Because originally we were supposed to be in Highland for this show.
Okay.
The Lincoln, it was supposed to be our return to the Lincoln Center, and they kind of screwed us out of that building. And then Psychosis was supposed to be on the show, and Psychosis had some, okay. Yeah, he was supposed to have, or he had some visa issues, which are cleared up. We have a date for him later in the year.
Forgot that was supposed to be the show. Yeah.
So Psychosis is going to come in later, and so we had that happen, and then Barry finally got back to me. He's like, "Oh, hey, this one works for me." I'm like, "Great." I mean, it was literally the day that Psychosis canceled that I got a text from Barry Windham saying, "I was like, it was fate." I was like, "Okay." The show was called Wrestling Returns because it was at the Highlands. or the Lincoln Center in Highland. Mm-hmm. So we just changed the name to, because like I knew whenever I brought in Barry Windham, I was going to call it "There's Something About Barry," because to your chagrin, I will always use puns for the show titles just to make you cringe.
No, I love it. I actually do love it because I know you, and since Barry and Mikey Blanton.
Yeah, it's forever.
So you had the date lined up. Do you basically have an open deal with RDS Gym now, where you know you're just going to run there from now on? Or are you still going to venture out to South Bend? Are you still going to venture out to Highland Park? Are you still going to venture out to these different places, or are you going to pretty much stay pat at RDS?
Well, no, we're going to – I mean, that's going to be our home. Mm-hmm. Like, South Bend was, like, a real disaster.
Sure.
Overall, like, the crowd was really low, and there's a whole – there's behind-the-scenes stuff, like, with a sponsor pulling out that really fucked us, like, in a lot of ways. But like, we knew that we had to buckle down and regroup and, you know, put out a banger of a show and – for the There's Something About Barry, and I know we did that, and it's like, and it's showing based on, you know, our streaming, you know, on IWTV and the ticket sales for July, that people were pleased and that they want to come back, and that's a good thing.
And it was still a good show. It just looked different.
Oh, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. Yeah, I like the way that the footage looks, because it's like, it's, I don't know how to describe it. Like, it's clean looking footage. Like, mm-hmm. It works out, like, to where you see everything, you know, like there's, like, I don't know if that's I'm sure the stuff would have worked, like, if it had our old lighting rig and stuff like that, which we could still have if we wanted to. The whole reason we don't set that up is so we could fit more people in that place. Cause to me, what would I rather have, the lighting or an extra, you know, 10, 15 people inside the building? Like, it's, you know, it's, I'm always going to pick that.
Yeah, that makes sense. So you planned out the venue. You got the venue all set up, and RDS is very accommodating. You got Barry Windham all set up. You got you pretty much already booked the card out months in advance. What is your week of the show look like? Not day of the show, but what is your week of the show? What are you doing week of the show?
Okay, week of the show, usually I am paying people. I like to pay ahead, because, like, to me, that's showing a trust thing to the performers and talent. And then also, it's like, sometimes people don't have money the week of the show, and, like, they got to get there and all that. Like, to me, I would rather have the money up front to, like, you know, to get there, to get through life, man. Like, life is, you know, it's hard enough as is. And then, like, because I know there's a lot of promoters that will pay after, and they'll get you later, Virginia, and like things like that. Like, I don't want to do business that way, because I would rather them, you know, everyone paid ahead of time. Like, I have people paid already for, you know, August, because, like, you know, we already worked out a deal, and, like, I was like, all right, well, I'll just pay you now so I don't forget. And so now I know I have a marked as paid, and they're already done, you know, it's already taken care of. July, same thing, they're just already taken care of. And so that I'll pay the people. Usually I'll meet with the crew, and we'll kind of decide, like, you know things we need to get done, you know, Jess will do. Jessica does all the shopping for the concessions, because I work, you know, 60 hours a week. Mm-hmm. and then we have, you know, a couple of kids too, and then I always stress out, like, about, all right, were these the right matches? Like, is this the right thing? And then I'll put the match order together. And I do it in a way to where it flows. And, like, I have a formula now, and I've used it the past few shows, and I think the formula is finally, like, perfect. Mm-hmm. Like, it is, like, because, like, before, it's always, like, the title match needs to go last. And I don't necessarily agree with that, because, like, if that's not, like, the most, like intense thing you have going, or the most whatever thing you have in the show, it shouldn't have to go last. It shouldn't be last just because it's a title match.
Do you seek out, because I know it's just you booking.
Yes.
Do you seek out opinions, or is this your baby?
On occasion, I do, but like sometimes I'm just looking for yes men, like just to make me feel better. I mean, to be honest, but like there's like John Thorne. If I ask him advice, he always tells me the truth, and good or bad, you know. There's like you know, Ethan Page does Alpha One, same thing. Like even if it's like that's and I do the same for him too, and I do the same for Thorne. It's like and Danny Adams, all that like brutal honesty. Because none of us are going to get better if we freaking pat each other's asses and tell them everything's going to be okay. Like, we always brass tacks on everything and just...
So there's a network, yeah. Really.
Dude, yes. Yes, there really is. It's like, you know, there's... Like, I always try... like, when I bring someone in, I always try contacting people. Like, hey... Do you want to split, you know, something? Like Matt Nix from Freelance, same thing. Like, just the easygoing motherfucker, you know? Like, he is, you know, just a good guy. And so, like, we'll all, like, kind of work together. And we'll all save money and coordinate these things. And there's a lot of times where it's, like, Freelance on Friday or AIW on Friday, then us, and then Glory Pro on Sunday. So like people will get like a loop going for you know to make things work out. It's pretty cool.
Or you know, even down to Nashville, you know, even SUP, which is the loop I did last week.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't like there's never really any like when I'm talking about like flight shares and things
sure,
like
sure,
that.
Sure, sure, sure.
Like, just, like we don't really do that with SUP very often.
A lot of the same faces appear is my point.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. The driving people, mm-hmm. Correct. Yes, because like they budget their shows differently than I do, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, it's great. They have a great product.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, I see a lot of similarities, even though you're in, it's really funny because you're in different parts of the country, but I frequented both of your shows enough that I see similarities, even though you kind of have a lot to do with each other, but you also have nothing to do with each other, and it's just I find it absolutely hysterical, you know, just the
it's like, yeah, like, and here's the funny thing, I will talk to Ku like I don't want to say often, but like, you know, a decent amount, and like we never talk business, like we just talk about whatever, like, you know, like we don't ever talk about like, and we'll talk about like his matches for me, but like we don't ever talk about our company business ever. I don't know why we don't, but we just don't do it, because like I have no idea, like no issues or anything, but like yeah, we just don't ever do it. Like we just talk about other bullshit because we're just buddies.
That's awesome. So you get the week of the show. So you really do hold a pre-production meeting.
Of course,
I find that interesting.
Yeah, because I, here's the thing about that. It's like, you know, in the words of Brian, plans change. And they really do. Because they'll, like, you know, when you're trying to put everything together and you have so many bodies around, things change, people aren't there on time, all that stuff, it's rough.
Are you a list guy? Are you, like, are you put everything down on paper and, you know, this person does this, or are you kind of like a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants type?
Jessica is the list person.
Fair.
And I am a Jessica person.
You are. That's,
like,
that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Of course. Yeah. Like that stuff gets done. Like it's, you know, like there'll be times where like I'll ask like a decent, like basic task for people to do. And like a lot of times like it doesn't get done and then I have to do it myself and then I'll yell at everyone and it's, you know, it is what it is. But like, there's like, you know, we're cracking down on, you know, being more organized, I guess. But like, this last show, I wasn't as, like, intense, I would say, about the times. like normally I'll yell at people like, hey, stick to your times. And so this show like went pretty long, but it was awesome. Like people were feeling the crowd and just feeling it out there. And I didn't feel like any match dragged. Like Shaza and Kylie Rae, they're probably out there 13 to 15 minutes, and they killed it the entire time, had the crowd with them, and they finished at the right time. It was, I mean, just, it was awesome.
Are you flyering before shows too? Like, cause that's one thing that Koo and Jesse, that Koo really talked about, is that him and Jesse coming from the punk background, is that flyering is paramount for them. You don't come from that punk and hardcore background, but is flyering a big thing for you as well?
Oh yeah. That's another thing Jess does. Like a lot of them, they'll take stuff around. I'm actually going to for probably our August show. I'm going to be doing, you know, bigger signs, and you know, making deals to put up bigger signs to, you know, show the address and like who our special guest for August is going to be and all that to kind of. That's not necessarily final yet, so I'm not going to – normally I would give you the scoop, it's not final, so I don't want to give it away yet. Mick Wrestling, though, everyone, be ready.
You can text it to me later.
Yeah, I will.
So your production meeting is a day or two before the show. Show day comes. What does your day look like? Because Koo gave me a picture of what his day looks like. He says he tries to have a normal human moment the day of the show. You have a family. Do you try to do that as well, or are you wake up at 8 and you are in show mode from minute one?
Like I said, I have kids, man.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I wake up and like they gotta eat. They, you know, that like diapers need to be changed and you know they all that, but like. This show, because normally I have a lot of people go into the airport for me. This show, I actually had to go get Alley Cat and Barry Windham from the airport and take them to their hotel. So that was like, and this was like kind of an early start show. So I left probably at 6 a.m. and I got home about probably 9 after I dropped them at the hotel and got, you know, all that. Got them at 9, or got home about 9, maybe 10. And, you know, took a shower, because the car, like our merchandise was already loaded up because of the Midwest mixtape the week before. Mm-hmm. So, Michael and Melanie Chavez, they kind of loaded that up already. So that was so we didn't have to worry about that for this show, but we had to load up like the soda and the pop or the soda and the chips and all that stuff and just get the kids ready and go.
Because this show started earlier. You usually run night shows, right?
Now we're at this building, so we're gonna do afternoons, and like it's worked out very well for like you know, people's schedules and things like that. And like starting in July, we're gonna start having after parties. We had one in South Bend. It was really great. We all went out drinking afterwards. It was just a good time. And So the show ends 7:30, 8 o'clock, and then we could, you know, we could go to our after party location and, you know, have a good time and keep the party going.
Is that a John Thorne idea?
It was actually the sponsor idea.
Oh, really? Okay. Because I know Thorne's really big on the after party thing.
Oh yeah, and it is great. That's why I went with it. Was absolutely John Thorne. Like if it wasn't for John Thorne and that podcast, I wouldn't be running right now. I've told him to his face. I've said it on his podcast. I've said it, you know, over and over. It's absolutely the truth. The two big bullet points were John Thorne and Chandler Biggins would always talk about, you know, running shows. And like, it's funny because they're talking about the bad stuff, but like, it still gives you the itch, I swear. And then Dasher Hatfield would always write, "You should book me on your professional wrestling show." And I was like, I should book Dasher Hatfield on a professional wrestling show. And well, I did.
Thorne's podcast is so brutally honest. And I love every bit of it. It's so warts and all.
John Thorne. Here's John Thorne, okay? And I have told him this at least 10 times. Oh, man. I don't know if it's going to work out. Oh, gosh, I'm so nervous. This could happen. This bad thing could happen. Comes to the data show, sells fucking 400 tickets. It happens every damn time. I don't know why he gets nervous every time, because it literally happens every time. It's insane to me.
So, but show day comes, you get to the venue, and they let you, is this venue a lot better about letting you in early as well? Like, do you basically have the rental of the whole day?
We rent it from noon until 9.
Okay.
And we're probably going to up it till 10, or maybe start at 11, because this next show, we have limitations. We might even start at 11, because this next show, we have limitations, because right when we end on IWTV this time, what is it called? ICW New York is going to be running.
Sure.
So they're literally going to switch from our stream to their stream. And so we have time restraints, which, like, it feels like Mania weekend.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt Griffin, please come up to the next show so you can time this shit out for me. Please.
When this is the Steamboat show?
Yes, Steamboat. Yes, we have our time restraints. I think we're allowed to go, I believe it's 2 hours and 45 minutes all in, which I could make it happen. It'll be fine, but it's still the pressure, you know?
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. And Matt Griffin, promoter of Action Wrestling, for those of you who don't know, worked tirelessly behind the scenes at the Collective.
Oh yeah.
Because most people don't know this, how hard he worked that week, getting people to hit their time cues and timing these shows out and just getting everybody to be an efficient machine.
Oh yeah.
He was just, and he went up there with no idea what he was doing either. Cause I drove him up and he said, I'm going to see if I can help out. And he was invaluable. Absolutely invaluable.
Oh yeah.
When I talked to him.
It's the same, hopefully same thing for next year. Yeah. More info on that later.
Oh, good to hear. Good to hear. All right, so day of the show comes. You're in the building. What's your first crisis? Do you want to reveal what any of your crises are? Because everyone has those unforeseen crises. What are your crises?
Yeah, sure. The Cleveland car was going to be late, so we had to switch around a few matches. And To make it all work, Ethan Page versus Gary J was later in the card, but they ended up going second to kind of make it work. The Scramble, which was the opener, was supposed to be second originally, and yeah, so it was a whole thing. We had to keep moving stuff around, and that's the stuff that I hate the most, because like, I like to stick to a schedule, and I don't like seeing a bunch of arrows and stuff on my format, but it's, you know, what can you do? But like, once it started and like we could kind of get things flowing, it's like, you know, you could feel the energy of it, and like, it still ended up working out. I still felt good about it.
How do you pick your guys for your scramble?
We had three of them ahead of time. I had Danhausen was in there, Danny Adams was already in there, and Logan James was already in there. I had those three automatically. They were going to be in there because I had already had them booked. And during the Barry Windham seminar, I was watching what people were doing, how they were interacting, all this stuff. And a lot of these people, like, a lot of people don't know this. Like, when someone signs up for a seminar, I'm going to look them up to see what they could do, because you're already going to be there. So I'm like, hey, man, maybe I could use you. So, like, you know, I know there's some people that think seminars are money grabs and all that. No, you're going to get better, and I'm going to look at you. There's so many people that send me emails all the time that I'm sorry, man. I don't give a shit that you've been, you know, wrestling in bumfuck Tennessee and you know, like, you've wrestled around there and you're the freaking the whatever champion in this thing for 8 years. It doesn't matter to me because, like, I'm not going to watch your video unless I have a reason to be interested in you. But these people that come and show their face and I could see how they work in front of me, all that, that's different. I'm going to be able to see them, physically see them, and see what they could do and give my opinions, and that's how I go about it.
So let's get into the card a little bit. The show starts. Okay. Your walk-up gets in there pretty much. It seemed kind of like a, not necessarily late filtering crowd, but people kind of trickled in a little bit as the show was coming.
Yeah, it was like, oh, I'll be honest, I was scared shitless like that during the first match. I was like, where the hell is everyone? But like, it was funny because, like, I mean, we advertised 4:30 start time. I mean, no less than 100 times, probably more. And, you know, trying, like, and then someone showed up like at like 7 something and they're like, hey, we only saw 3 matches, you know, can I get a refund? And I was like, well, we could work something out, but like, you need to learn the times. Like, it's not my fault you didn't show up on time for a show that has the time on the poster. We put the time on our thing. Like, it's, I don't know, like, you couldn't show up to a concert and do that.
Yeah. And I was helping on the ticket door, and it was like, I'm just like, there's a trickle, but then by match 2 or 3, place was fucking packed.
Yes. Yeah, it was cool. It was cool. And this, like, to give an example, for July, we, for the whole capacity that was at this show, we have about 25 more tickets already sold, and it's, you know, 2 months out.
That's awesome.
And it's, yeah, it's great.
And you attribute that to Steamboat?
Yes.
Or your buzz, or, I mean...
A combination.
Mm-hmm.
Combination. It's like that this show went well, Steamboat, and then, like, after we announced Emma, like, it sold tickets, man.
So let's get into the show a little bit. The first match, I loved... the first match, the pre-show match, Kara Noia versus Sophie King. I'd never seen Kara Noia before. How do you find her?
She is a Eric Cannon girl.
Okay.
She's trained by Cannon, and she had hit us up a while back, and I was like, well, she's interesting. You know, like, she has a different look than most girls do. Like, and I was like, okay, well, you know, we'll see what she could do. And then I thought it was, you know, she was good. And then Sophie's one of those that'll come and she'll help out. And
Sophie's a road warrior.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was fun. It's filmed. I only watched a little bit of it because I haven't seen it yet, but it'll be on YouTube eventually. Yep. We'll put it up.
You start off with Tony Deppen and Travis Huckabee versus Violence is Forever, aka SadConf. What made
the,
you
no, no, to... we didn't, we were supposed to.
Oh, you start were supposed to. Okay, that. I'm sorry. I'm going by the format here. You started off with the scramble, right?
Yes, the scramble was first. I believe that match was third. You were just
okay.
Talking
okay,
about.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right.
And see, like, where I was trying to set the mood with that first match.
Gotcha. So you started off with the scramble, and who were the three people you ended up using in the scramble?
Oh, man. Thomas Shire was one of them.
Who I love, by the way.
Aaron Williams was one of them. Mm-hmm. And he was real good, too. And then...
Ian loves him. Ian uses
Yeah. Yes. And the last person was... Oh, gosh. I should know this. Thomas Shire. Aaron Williams... I cannot think of the last person that was in that scramble, but it's, I don't know. We'll figure it out eventually.
But
Aaron Williams, like, very, very much so impressed me.
Yeah.
Like, he was kind of like a, like, he changed his look recently, because, like, his look before was kind of like just like a generic thing. And that's kind of why I didn't notice him that much. But yeah, like he was
comes out with shirt and tie, and he's like, I mean, he's different. Yeah. He's definitely different.
Yeah, Matt Kenway was the last person in that match.
Kenway, that's right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
St. Louis car. Yep.
Yes. So and he did the seminar as well.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good. He's good. He's got a good look.
And Thomas Shire has like the Jack Swagger, like kind of same body type gear. Like it's like, and he was a huge Barry Windham fan. You could tell.
Oh yeah, Greg made this Jack Swagger comparison to me too when he was talking to me. Like it's like
oh yeah, because yeah. I mean, he has that long upper torso yep. and yeah, it's
he yeah, kills it in Anarchy.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen a little bit of a shit. He's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Probably see more of him.
So this match is notable because you did something that no one else is doing. You had Alley Cat come in, and then Alley Cat, the most lovable babyface on the planet, turn heel in a promo. You had her cut a heel promo. Was this your idea? Was this her? She wanted to do it?
It's all me.
Okay.
It's all me. It's been in the works for about 6 months because it's she is a new millionaire. And this is a real life scenario of, I mean, we've all had those friends that like got a real good job and, you know, got a new house or whatever, and they just become fucking assholes. And that's just what happens when people get money. It's the truth.
Was she reluctant? How do you present this to? Because she is
like an old vet, man. Whatever you ask, she's just gonna do it. You know, like she's never gonna argue about things like that, like a booking or anything. Never.
She's great. She's absolutely great. I saw her at SUP the next day too, and she's just like, "Yeah, I'm a heel there." It's amazing.
She cut a great promo too.
It was a great
promo. Very impressed.
Promo. Totally unexpected too.
Oh yeah,
no one saw it coming.
Yes.
Next match was my favorite match on the card: Ethan Page versus Gary J. And congratulations, you had me go from hating Ethan Page to I now like Ethan Page, which I'm sure you're cackling over. But this match may have converted me completely. This match was a fucking banger.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they beat the shit out of each other and, like, just had an intensity and kept upping it and upping it and upping it. It was really good. Like, Ethan Page is a better wrestler, like, actually in-ring than he gets credit for. But, like, it takes matches like this because if he doesn't want to, you know, like work like this kind of style match, he won't. But like in BLP, he always does. He always just busts his ass.
Yeah, when he gets goofy is when I really don't like him. But he only
did that like our first few shows because yeah. I was putting him in there with Legends, and you know he needed to do something.
Yeah, he just I don't love him in Impact either. But when he wants to be he has the capability of being a shit kicker.
And oh, yeah.
Like, he did that in the Kobe Durst match on the Collective as well. And it was fantastic because
they've had two matches in BLP, him and Kobe. Mm-hmm. And a third one will be coming shortly. I don't know when. Everybody wait and see. But, like, it's – they always destroy each other every time. Like, and just – There's just a chemistry there of where they're just gonna click, and that's a good thing.
How much input do you have in the style of a match? Do you tell them go out there and just beat the shit of each other for 15 minutes, or do you give the wrestlers a lot of leeway in the tenor of a match?
I mean, most people, I just trust them to do what they're going to do. Like, you know, like Ethan Page, for example, I kind of let him just do his own thing because he wants us to succeed. So he knows what I want to see. But like AJ Gray and Bear Bronson, AJ said, what do I want? he asked me, what do I want? And I just said, All Japan. And he goes, yep, okay. And that was it.
Cool. Cool. So the third match was the tag match, correct?
Yes.
This was, I love this because this was a Southern tag.
Yes, it was.
This was just wonderful. Tony Deppen and Travis Huckabee might as well have been the Rock and Roll Express.
Absolutely.
Was that your call as well, or did they come up to you and say, hey, we want to be the Rock and Roll Express?
To be honest, we didn't have time to go over anything.
Okay.
I didn't know what they were going to do in the ring at all.
Oh, because the Cleveland car was late.
Yeah, they were late, and I was worried about other things, and I trust all four of those guys.
See, that's so there's does it depend on – it depends on the trust level then.
If I don't trust you, you're not going to work here.
Interesting. Okay. Gotcha. So then fourth match was Trey Lamar and Jake Lander versus Space Pirates?
No, that was second to last match.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
It got moved because I didn't want to do two tags in a row.
That's right. So what did you have run after that?
I think it was the – what was the match right after that, like on the format?
AJ and Bear Bronson?
Yes, that was the next
right.
match.
That's right, yeah. AJ's a guy who's kind of come up.
He's got a chip on his shoulder, and I mean that in a good way.
He's got a chip on his shoulder, and he's come and gone in BLP. And I think he's really improved, especially over the last – 3 to 6 months, would you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah, he left BLP because I sent him away from BLP because I told him I didn't like his attitude. But then he's one of the few that instead of getting all shitty and whatever, he changed his attitude. And now he's featured prominently here because he did what I asked. And he has grown up a lot. He's a good guy. He tries so hard. He works so hard. So it's, you know, there's others that have been sent away that just want to bitch and bitch and bitch and talk shit. And hey, man, they're still sitting at home and they're gonna stay there.
He's one of my favorite people in wrestling too.
Yeah, he's great.
I love
good
that
guy.
Love that.
And
guy.
now he comes out to Motley Crue, which makes me happy.
It's fucking amazing. Yeah. His musical days run the gamut. Yeah,
the best thing is like I wake up for work at like 3:15 in the morning, and I will always like wake up to message from him like 10 minutes before, hey man, this is gonna be my music now, and it'll be like a music video of Shout at the Devil or something. It's like okay AJ, and he's like, you know, what are you doing, like why are you up? I'm like, well, I have to go to work, man, like I It's awesome.
Bear Bronson's another one too. He's killing it on uncharted territory.
Oh yeah, yes. Bear Hunter. Will. Okay. How about this? I said breaking news. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Bear Country is debuting in July as a team.
Great. Great. Those two dudes work so well together.
Oh yeah, it should be cool.
You were one of the first person to break him out of the Northeast as well. How did you kind of break him?
Unplugged.
Okay.
Him and some other people from his area contacted me, and you know, it didn't work out with everyone local, you know, that were with him, but he was one that I was like, you know what, I'm giving this guy a job. He has got this a certain look, and like he's not like a fat guy, but like I always use the phrase fat guy wrestler. Of where back in the day there used to be guys that had like, you know, the barrel chest and like the belly, you know, that like that's, we don't have that because everyone wants everyone to look the same with the six pack and the tan and the underwear trunks. It's like
Koo referred to a wrestler last week as a meat mountain, and I'm just going to start referring to dudes as that.
Okay, there you go.
He's a meat mountain.
He is. Good guy too.
And then was. Then did you run Nate Webb and Jake Parnell after that?
Yes, which was
crazy.
That match, okay, I will. I told them the same thing. I didn't have. high expectations for that at all. Not that I thought it was going to be bad. It's just I was like, oh, well, that's just a match. And those guys are both so creative.
That was hammy as shit. That seemed very Mikey Blanton, though, because they were doing basketball spots. They were using the Stunt Brothers as human weapons.
I take zero credit for that. That was all them. They thought up all of that stuff. Like the Iron Maiden thing, like they asked for it. And that's the thing. It's like when guys ask for something and they have a passion for it, I'm always going to say yes. I'm absolutely always going to say yes.
It's New Jack, but metal.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, Jordan Grace asked me a few times before I allowed her to body slam a child. You know, like, but it worked out. It's clearly she sold a bunch of t-shirts now.
Then you ran intermission after that, I think, right?
Yes.
After that was Shazza and Kylie, correct?
Yes, you're going to have to see in this, Ben, mm-hmm. on this podcast, mm-hmm. you're going to have to de-um yourself with a lot of the ums.
I know I do. I do it terribly.
I've learned this.
I do it terribly.
So there was a podcast about podcasts that I listened to, and it was like all they talked about was that people say all the time, and I was like, I don't say it at all. I say it all the time, and we all do.
I know.
So we're all going to fail forever. Don't worry about it. We're all
going to fail forever. So Shazza and Kylie was next. They actually came in late also.
Kylie did.
Okay.
Oh, no, actually, no. Yes, they both did. Yes, correct.
Yeah. And they still had a banger of a match.
Yes, they did. Shazza's flight was delayed mm-hmm. 3 hours. And, you know, she got in. You know, Tyler brought her there, good old Tyler, who's currently in England seeing the Spice Girls reunion.
Amazing.
And no, I'm not lying. So that's cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, those girls killed it because they knew that – because Kylie's with AEW and those contracts kick in soon and they can't do anything. So, like, this was their shot to have a match, and boy, did they have a great one.
And, again, that's another one where you just trusted them. You just trusted them. Go as long as you want.
Yes.
Take as far as you want. I have faith
in you. Poor Basil got chopped in that match, so that's – that was fun too.
Basil's a great guy.
Oh yeah.
After that, I think it was Sage and Logan versus Cabana Mandan and Boomer, correct?
I believe so, yes.
Because you switch things around at this point.
Yes.
Where Cabana Mandan was the tallest person, which is amazing.
Yes. Yeah, it was insane. It was like he was the tallest person in that match, full of just small men. And here's what I need to say about that match, okay? Boomer Hatfield has been wrestling for all of maybe a year, I think less.
Really?
Logan Stunt has been wrestling for 5 months, 4 or 5 months. They had a hell of a match that they put together, and they're working so hard. I think both Boomer and Logan both have a future in wrestling, and they're both going places. And obviously, Cabana Mandan was great already. Sage always does, you know, a good job. He was having not in that match though. Like he's a great guy, but yeah, he wasn't great in this match.
I think you ran. Did you run the tag match after this, and then Jordan and Kobe?
The Jordan and Kobe, then the tag match.
Jordan and Kobe, then the tag match. Jordan and Kobe wasn't terribly long.
No, it was not.
Were you on time constraints at that point? Or?
No, it was. Jordan had hurt her neck via the pile driver and was coming back out to claim her title shot because she had it. but she had her injured neck, and Kobe is a world-class athlete that, you know, she was going against with a, you know, she got attacked the week before at the Midwest mixtape, and then again by Alley Cat again. So it was kind of just a, you know, 1-2 punch. So she was at a big disadvantage going in.
And that's storyline's making sense.
Yeah. At least I thought it was.
No, it is. It is completely. And you have, you work storylines in from show to show to show where a lot of indies just say, we're vomiting out these matches. Here you go.
Yeah, that sucks. We're trying to keep things, you know, everything we do now is like, we're trying to link it, even if it's like so subtle, we try to link little things like, just like little stuff.
From there, you had the tag match, Trey Lamar and Jake Lander versus Space Pirates. Again, this is storyline heavy.
Yes. Because they're cheating motherfuckers.
They're cheating them, motherfuckers.
The Blood Diamond.
The Blood Diamonds.
Blood Diamonds.
Yeah.
Yes, Space Pirates are so good, by the way.
They are a great team. Yes, they have a big match in July that we will announce soon. And, yeah, I know you'll love it. Yeah, they're great. They're a great team. And the fact that Lander and Trey were kind of just, they were put together to start teaming on these shows because I thought they were both individually good athletes. Like, they are really clicking together.
No, they work together well, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because this was, like, their first, like, tag match, like, of just, you know, because they won the titles in a six-man.
And then your main event, Brian Alvarez and Marco Stunt. This was a masterpiece. I'm a little pissed they didn't get to use all the weapons I bought, but still, with the booking, was the family stuff your idea? They worked all in right. The whole
stuff. Everyone, before we get into this, mm-hmm. I have a story for you.
Fire away.
Not for you. You know the story, but this is for everyone listening. So young Ben went to the store and he got weapons. And one of the weapons he got was a toilet seat. Everyone, if anyone had gotten hit with that toilet seat that Ben purchased, they would either be in a coma or dead. This thing was like the most well-made toilet seat. So well-made that I have taken it home and I have it in our bathroom and I'm going to put it on our toilet because it's a nice toilet seat. So, thanks for the toilet seat, Ben.
You're welcome, buddy.
Yes.
That was actually a Lane idea. You can thank Lane.
Oh, well, thank you, Lane. I'm going to be, you know, comfortable now on the toilet.
There you go.
Because of this, like, really nice, like I, you know, I was like, yeah, hey, we have this too, Brian. And he's like, you know, like, I believe the exact phrase was like, what the fuck am I going to do with this? So, did you get a chance to talk to Brian?
Not that much, no. He was real busy with everyone else.
Yeah, because I do think it is wild that our connection is based off of that thing, you know, that message board and all that. And it's kind of a full circle thing of mm-hmm. just, like, it's funny because, like, there's so many people on Twitter, and, like, obviously I'm biased because he works for me and he's my friend and all that. But I do think I am able to separate, you know, when people are right and wrong on things. And, like, I do think it is very funny when people try to make fun of him doing wrestling and all that stuff. When it comes to heel work,
he's a fantastic heel.
He's great. Like, he really is. He's great. All of his stuff makes sense. It's just like, you know, like, that's why when people are like, oh, he's making fun of that stuff, it's like, well, he knows what he's doing, so, like, maybe he's not as wrong as you think he is.
I mean, he's not going to go out and have, you know, your Zack Sabre Jr. match, but you don't need him to.
No, absolutely not. And that's like, you know, everyone has their certain style of matches. Like, Marco told me afterwards that that was his favorite match he's ever had. And think of the stuff Marco's done.
Yeah, I mean, it was wildly entertaining.
It was a moment.
It was a moment.
Is what it was. It was, I'm very, very proud of how it went. Papa Stunt got up, you know, defended his wife, because that's what anyone would do, is defend their wife. And he got put through a table for his troubles. And it was just, yeah, like I was a big fan of how that went. Very glad that
it told a story too.
Yeah, I was very glad that I put that last though, because nothing was going to follow that.
No, not at all. And the crowd was sitting on the edge of their seat through the whole match too. And that for a last match of a show, that's what you need.
Yes, and everyone needs to go to IWTV.live and watch the Black Label Pro Show, and you could sign up using promo code Black Label, one word.
There it is. So overall, show is a success, do you think?
No, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm very happy about it. It's, you know, it wasn't, there were no real negatives about it. Like that no one canceled. Like, we had a cancellation earlier that's why we had to move Jordynne Grace, because it was going to be Jordynne Grace and Maria Manic, and that cancellation happened, which, you know, Maria's got something going on, not going to get into that. And then, we had, I don't remember who canceled on Kobe Durst, but that, you know, that happened. But it all worked out.
Yeah, you did Jordynne Grace.
Yep. And yeah, it was all good.
It's awesome. I had a blast. Well worth
the trip. I'm very glad.
Well worth the trip.
I'm very glad. You're a top-notch buddy.
I appreciate it, my friend. Well, we're going to take a little bit of a detour here. Is Jess available?
Yeah, Jess is right here.
Because the one thing I really love about Black Label is it's a family affair. And
yes.
I think that Jess has as much, if not more, to do with the success of Black Label than you. Because she's the brains behind the operation, frankly.
Yeah.
Can I talk with Jess for a few minutes, actually, if you don't mind?
Of course. Of course. Yeah,
I want to get her perspective.
I'm going to pass the headphones over to her real fast. Just give me a minute or so.
Sure.
Here.
Hello.
Hey, Jess.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
I wanted to have you on because Black Label, probably more than any promotion I know, is a family operation. And you are the heart and soul of your family, and you are the heart and soul of Black Label. So I want to talk a little bit about what Black Label means to you, if that's all right.
Okay.
Talk about when Mikey presented you, you're Mikey's fiance.
Yes.
When he presented the crazy idea of starting a wrestling promotion to you, what went through your head?
I was very supportive from the get-go.
Okay.
He went through, at that point in time, that was when he had Bell's palsy, and he came to me and said that, you know, that was something he was truly passionate about, and he wanted to try and do that again. And when you love somebody, you fully support their dreams. So I told him, let's do it. And we jumped in with both feet and haven't looked back since.
Now, what roles, Mikey talked a little bit about you know, you're basically the organizer behind things and stuff like that. What roles do you see yourself playing in Black Label? Are you basically the vice president in charge of keeping Mikey sane, or he said you do a lot of the concession stuff. What roles do you see yourself playing, an official title or really an unofficial title?
I think it's more of an unofficial. I think I just fill in where I need to fill in. Mm-hmm. Like if we need me in concessions or ticket stands or backstage or, you know, whatever he needs me to do at the show, I do. Before the show, I take on a whole lot. I do all the running around and, you know, the flyers and the posters and calling people and organizing and inventorying the merchandise. So I do a lot. And you do, whatever he needs me to do.
You do great at it. Did you, when you got into this relationship, did you ever foresee yourself doing all these crazy things for wrestling promotion?
No, but like I remember the first show when, because literally I had been to 2 independent wrestling shows in my entire life. So our first show was the 3rd one I'd ever been to. Really? And I remember when I came in there, because I think I got there a little bit late after he did, and I walked in there and there was just people everywhere. You know, there's the people setting up, there's all the wrestlers, there's everything. And I looked at him and I said, oh my God, I never realized this many people went into putting on a show. Like, it makes sense to me now, but like, it was such a foreign concept to me at the beginning. You know, when you walk in there and you see 40, 50 people in there already, and you're just like, who are all these people? Oh, this is how intricate the show is, and this is how many people are there to just put on the show, which is amazing to me. And he helps, you know, tie all that together, you know, neat little bow on top and gets it all out there. So whatever he needs me to do behind the scenes to get him to that point, I'll do.
But you need to give yourself more credit because you help tie a lot of that together as well. Mike was talking about how you're the organizer of it, basically, and you're the one who makes all the lists and makes sure all of that stuff gets pulled together as well.
Somebody has to. So I've just taken that on, you know. And I think he does, like, he gave me credit, but he doesn't give himself enough credit sometimes, I think, because he does a lot. Like, he goes from work, and then he comes home from work and does the wrestling stuff. You know, he's on 24/7 with us, and I can't imagine doing that. You know, I can, like, kind of, okay, you need me to do this, you know. I don't have to be consistently doing it all day, every day, like he has to.
I mean, you guys are also trying to run a family here. Is it a stressor on the family?
I don't think so. I think because you said, like, we've run it so that it's, you know, it's a family thing. You know, our 7-year-old loves the shows. She loves the wrestlers. You know, they've all become like part of our family. So she walks in there and she knows everyone. So it's stressful leading up to it, but I don't think it's been a stressor on the family. We've just kind of had to.
It's just part of what your family does now.
Yeah, like we just have adjusted. We've learned to adjust things over the last 2 years, and it's kind of just, you know, we have a plan and we just adhere to that. And like, it's just our lives now. So
it's the family business now.
It is. And our 7-year-old will tell you that it is the family business, and she thinks she's one of the owners. So, and she is insistent that she will grow up and wrestle someday, and she is insistent that she will grow up and become the owner of BLP. So yes, it is very much a family business.
Yeah, talk a little bit about her, because she's become, I don't want to say the mascot, but basically she's absolutely beloved. And she, you know, just, you know, because I've known Mikey for so long, and just, you know, seeing you guys together and seeing her grow up and stuff like that, just seeing her light up, you know, with this sort of thing, this seems like an absolute gift to her in some respects.
Oh, she adores it. The first show, I was certain that she was going to be shy. Like, there's all these tall, big dudes, and she is just walking up to them and going, you know, hi, my name is, you know, and I'm, you know, I think at the time she was 5. I'm 5 years old, and, you know, I own, like, this is my company, too. It's not just Mikey's company. It's my company, too. And I was just like, whose child are you that you're, like, so confident walking up to these people, you know? But since then, like you said, she has become, you know, everybody knows her. Everybody loves her. She loves it. She wants to be a wrestler. She wants to be involved with wrestling. You know, she'll sit and watch wrestling shows on TV. Like when Michael turns on the wrestling shows to scout people, she'll sit there right with them. She'll have the comments. She'll be talking with them about it. So, I mean, she loves it. It absolutely has been a gift. And seeing her grow up around these people for the last almost 2 years, you know, I can see just a change in her in those 2 years.
So it's really been something that's brought the family together in some respect.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And with the baby as well, everyone loves... thank you for letting me hold the baby, by the way.
Oh, no problem. She loved you.
She did. It was so cool. It was so cool. But just, like, you guys are, like, it's not... a lot of wrestling promotions are just one guy or, you know, just, you know, a couple dudes or something like that. You guys are a united family. You know, there's the mom and the kid and the baby and, you know, and Mikey and stuff like that. Is that important to you guys to kind of show that united front?
I think it is. When he came to me with the idea and I go, oh my God, we get to run a business together. Is that what you're saying? He goes, yes. I go, I am so excited about that. You know, I adore him. And like I said, anything he wants to do, I'll support him. But it also made me so excited that he trusted me enough to go into that and want me to be like his partner in doing this. So, yeah, I mean, like from the get-go, we said like this is going to be a family-friendly, you know, show. We're going to do family-friendly shows. And I mean, if we're going to do those kinds of shows, we might as well bring our family and get our family involved.
Were there any points where you've had to pull the reins in and say, hey, maybe this isn't such a good idea, or points where you've been like, okay, I'm a little worried about this? Because you're the voice of reason in a lot of respects.
I think I'm just the more cautious one. Mm-hmm. Like, there have been, like, an instance or two where I'm like, are you sure? Are you sure? And, you know, it's just like, yeah, it'll be fine. You know, and he's right. You know, he doesn't over-worry. I do. And so all the times that I've over-worried, it's been for nothing. So that's just my personality.
But overall, you really think it's been, I mean, could at this point, could you even see yourself, you see your family life without Black Label?
No, like I forgot how it was 2 years ago. Like I said, you know, I said to him the other day, I was like, what did we used to do in our free time? You know, because 2 years ago, there was no Black Label, you know. A year ago, there was no baby. So it was like, what did we do in our free time? Because I feel like, you know, we're doing one thing or the other, but, you know, I love doing the shows. I love Black Label Pro. I love how happy it makes him to do Black Label Pro. And I will fully support him and, you know, everything he wants for this company. I'm very excited that he decided to make that leap 2 years ago, because I feel like it has been nothing but a positive thing for us and for our family. And for, you know, the area doing the shows and all the people that we've gotten involved with. I tell him, I feel like we've just made this big, giant, dysfunctional family of, like, all the people that, you know, our crew and our wrestlers and our, you know, announcers and, you know, all that. I feel like because we've had it be so family friendly and because we've had, like, you know, just that kind of attitude and that laid back, nice attitude. Like, I feel like we have really good relationships with everybody that's involved.
That's definitely the truth. Jess, yeah. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for
sitting in with me. I know, I'm sorry if I put you on the spot a little bit, but
no,
but you guys are really just united front and just really a family. And I think it was really important to hear your voice, because you are as much the heart and soul of Black Label as Mikey, if not more. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
And
thank you so much for talking to me. I appreciate it. This is the first time I have ever been on a podcast. So I am sorry if I talk too fast.
No, you did great. You did absolutely great.
Thank you.
Well, we love you guys, and hopefully we'll see you soon. We're going to see you guys in August at Scenic City.
Yes. Yes.
Cannot wait.
We're very excited.
Send Mikey my love, and we will see you guys soon.
I will.
All right.
We'll see you soon. Later.
Bye.
Bye. We didn't do it.